The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Kaf Gimel, today's daf is being studied. Le'ilun nishmat, Avraham ben Esther, v'hashem t'nehenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Kaf Bet Amud Bet, and we are starting at the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Marhikin et asulam min ha-shovach arba amot kede she'lot tikpots anemiya. You have to distance the ladder from the bird's nest, the dovecot. Arba amot, four amot kede she'lot tikpots anemiya. Because if you can have the ladder there, you're worried that the martin or the mole is going to jump on the ladder, climb up the ladder, and grab one of the doves. So just so you have an understanding of what's going on, here's the dove coat in 357. Normally you have a ladder to climb up to the dove coat. You have to move the ladder four amot away on the side of the wall. Four amot away. Because you don't want this martin, as they're calling it, the nemiyah, to jump on the ladder, climb up, and take one of the doves. So you marhik the ladder for amot away. Okay? That she says, Im yesh leze shovach b'chatzero samuk lakotel sheben shte chatzerot. He has a dove coat between the wall of the two chatzerot. V'chavero ba'ala amit sulam b'chatzero. And his friend wants to put a ladder up in his chatzer. Etz lakotel, next to the wall. ירחיקנו מן השובח ארבע עמות. You should move it from the שובח four עמות. כדי שלא תקפוץ הנמיה מן הסולם לשובח ותהרוג את היונים. It's going to kill the doves. והיא חיה קטנה, it's a small animal. Okay? ואת הכותל מן המזחילה דלת עמות כדי שיהיה זוקף את הסולם. We saw this already. You have to distance the wall from the drain pipe on the roof so the guy can put a ladder in between to climb up on the roof. Mm-hmm. Which means you have a mazhila, that's like a gutter on the roof over there, and the guy's building a wall. So he's got a distance of four amot, so there's room to put a ladder in between, and then they can climb up and fix his drain pipe. Okay, that was a picture 358. Okay, so those are the dinim over there. So comes the Gemara and begins. Now just Tosfot points out, Kedesh Yezokef et HaSulam, Keshemachar Venatan Lo Zekifat HaSulam B'Hasero Ayri. That's right, we're talking about he has rights to put the ladder there. This time you cannot put a ladder in a guy's Hatser unless you had permission. So it's talking about where he had permission, V'Kamashwa De'Be'ar Ba'amot. Hadush is, when you're selling him those rights, if you have permission, you got to move away for Amot to give him the rights to
put the ladder.
So he has the space. This space belongs to the to put the wall up. He had rights to build this wall. But the Hiddush is that he has to move it away for Amot in order to give him the rights. Okay? Okay, so that is the Mishnah. So now we begin the Gemara. No, well,
are they going to build a wall like
no, cut it in. He needs for the whole way. Yeah, sure.
Gotta
clean the whole gutter. You gotta give the whole way.
But done. It's only because only the part next to the house, though.
But the part where the gutter is.
It's mutar for him to do it, you know, here and then jet it out for the house. I mean, that would be.
So long as the part where the gutter is for Amor. So comes the Gemara and says, Lema matnitin, the lo k'rabbi yoseh. Let us say that our Mishnah is not going like k'rabbi yoseh. The idea of k'rabbi yoseh. Ha'amar ze chofer betoch shelo, veze noteya betoch shelo. So we learned Rabbi Yosef Shita several times already. That's talking about where you have the tree next to the bor. So some shittot say you got to put the tree far away from the board so it doesn't damage the wall of the board, the roots. I'm in the right, you're in the right. I'm planting on my property, you're planting on your property. I can do whatever I want. I can go right up to my property line and you build your board over there. It's not a problem, Kotel B'Yoseh. So you see, Kotel B'Yoseh, everybody does what they want so long as they're on their own property line. So the same thing over there when it comes to these dovecotes. I'm putting my ladder where on my property. Your dovecotes on the other side. So therefore, Kotel B'Yoseh, you shouldn't have to be Malachik Dalet Amot. The B.O. says, holding, as long as you're doing it on your property, yep, you could do whatever you want. Look at Nashi. Nema matnitin v'okar B.O. says, de palik b'sefet ha'perkim b'noteya ilan tzibuk labor. V'tuva mili ikan b'matnitin, a lot of cases in the Mishnah, de vaday lokar B.O. says, ela lema avzu de sulam v'shovach to the B.O. says, even this case of the shovach and the sulam is not going to be B.O. because it's mashma kot the B.O. you put it where you want to put it. As long as it's on your property line, you can do whatever you want. So Gemara comes along and says, no. Amar, zeh ofer betoch shlo, zeh yoter betoch shlo, afilu teema rabbi Yosei. I can even say that the Mishnah is going like rabbi Yosei. Amar, afilu teema rabbi Yosei. Why? Ha amar rabbi Yosei, because rabbi Yosei said, ki avinan be Rav Kana, we were in the yeshiva Rav Kana, Hava Amar Mode Rabbi Yosei Begire Dide. Rabbi Yosei is Mode with his arrows, with his direct arrows. Hachaname Zimnin Debade Debanachle. A concern that what's going to happen if you're going to put the ladder directly under the drain pipe, which means within for Amot, what's going to happen? Yet, or next to the dovecoat, Yatva Behod, maybe the animal is sitting in the hole waiting right there. And it's going to jump on the ladder immediately, and it's going to climb up. Which means, this is really more direct. Because by putting the ladder over there, well, when I put I plant my tree, the damage is not immediately. At first the roots have to grow, until they grow under the ground, until it reaches the board. Okay, so the B.O. says Mikhail on that. But here, it's almost immediate. Right, I put the ladder up, boom, the thing's waiting to jump on the ladder. It's going to jump up, now it's going to take the birds. So Gemara says, "Begire dile, bechitzima ba'im lo miyad gufo shel ba'al habayit mamash." Anything that's a direct hit from the ba'al habayit himself, not like a tree that's happening by itself. This is happening from the koach of the ba'al habayit. The guy shoots an arrow. That's his own koach. So I can't shoot an arrow on my property if I know it's going to damage somebody else. Well, same thing over here. By putting the ladder up, the B.O.S. is going to say, that's considered like you're damaging directly. Why? He's still holding the ladder as he's putting it up. Mm-hmm. As he's putting the ladder, he's still holding on to it. The thing's going to jump on it. That's going to go. So that's more like you did a damage. So the Gemara asks, well, still, even with all that, Gemara says, it's still a Gerama. It's indirect. The Gemara is assuming that you didn't damage it directly. You put the ladder. As a result of you putting the ladder, the animal went up and killed the dove. So the Gemara is assuming, and the Havamina, at least, that a Gerama bin Ezekin is Patur. Okay, forget about anything. It's Gerama. It's not like he shot the bird, or he took the bird with his hands, Biyadayim. You were good in. So you want to tell me, as a result of what you did, I hear you, but it's indirect, because once you put the ladder, the thing has to jump up, so therefore it's called a Gerama. So the Gemara is assuming that a Gerama bin Ezekin is Patur, therefore you should be able to put it right under the ladder itself. Okay? Now the Gemara is assuming over, not only Gerama is Mutar, the Gemara is having the question. Sorry, Bagiramai means not only are you going to be Patur, but the Gemara is assuming that Gerama is Heter. Therefore, you have no problem, which is a big Hadush. That's why the Gemara is going to say, why do you have to move the ladder away? Which means if it's really Gerama, Gerama is Heter, you should be able to put the ladder directly. Which means even if you want to say that the mole is going to jump right away on the ladder. At most, you have is a Gerama ben Ezekin. Amar of Tuvi bar Matna Zoto Meret must be, we can learn from our Mishnah, Gerama bin Ezekin Asur, which means it's Asur to do it, which means even though you might not have to pay, there's one thing being have to pay, and then you have Isur. Could be there's no hayuv tashlumin on a gerama, but still, what you're not allowed to damage in such a manner, and therefore, when you're going to go put something that can cause a gerama, your friend can stop you. You want to put the ladder under the dovecote. Gerama, I don't have to pay. You're right, but I can stop you. That's isur. You cannot put this ladder in a situation that's going to cause me a hezek. Okay, so that's the, which is, there is a yan of mazik by a gerama, and therefore, irabiyos is modeh to that. Irabiyos is modeh, you cannot be mazik in such a way. Look at Ashi, gerama bin zakin asur, v'afidu leman dama de lo da'in dina de garme upatum le shalem. Even if you want to say it's asur, you don't have to pay. However, asud de grom, you're not to cause it. Usheba la'amid gerama la'zik haviro me'akev. Which means two separate things that she points out here. Could be, you don't have to pay. I'll say ultimately you put the ladder there, and the mole went up on the ladder and killed one of the doves. Gerama, patu to pay. But he made a yisur. Because he considered a mazik by putting the ladder there. So his friend who owns the dove coat can tell him, no, don't put the ladder there. Even if you're a there. Hayuv tashlumin in a gerama, maybe you patur on a gerama, but gabe isur to do something that can cause a hezek to your friend, it's enough where his friend is able to protest and say, I don't want you to do it, and therefore we would have to move it. So the Rabbi Yosei is more there to that situation. The Gemara continues with a story. Rav Yosef havale hanehu tale. Tale, as she says, dekalim katanim. He had small palm trees.
Nice.
Dehavu atu umane. So you had blood letters, she says on top, makized dam, the yadve tutayhu. And they would sit under the trees and do their bloodletting. They would do their work. Vatu orbe, now so they would spill blood on the floor. The ravens would come, achle dama, and they would eat the blood. Vesalke viyatve betale, and then they would go sit on the tree. With the blood that's all over them, umafsede tamre, and they were dirty all the tamarim, all the dates. So they were damaging his dates. These blood letters over here. Not that you need to see the pictures, but you see it on 361. Yeah, you see exactly the bloody dates. You see the blood letters with the trees,
small palm trees,
with the parvim eating the blood. And they're going up on the trees over here,
under the trees,
and these are Rabbi Yosef's trees.
So the shade
they're sitting on their side of the fence, but they're causing an indirect damage because the birds are taking the blood up the other side of the wall, and they're eating up they're ruining his dates. Anyway, that was the claim. So the Gemara says, Amalehu. So whose trees were they? Rabbi Yosef, no? Rabbi Yosef. Amalehu Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef came along and said, Apikuli kurkur mehacha.
Rid me of this crowing.
Right, take the birds away. Kurkur, because that's the sound that the ravens make. As she says, Urbim, shedomim betzakatam kekorin. Kurkur. It's when they cry out, kurkur. So get rid of your, right. Get rid of your birds that are crowing. Amale Abaye. So Abaye came along and said, "Veha geramahu." So what do you want? It's a gerama. I'm not doing. It's not direct damage. It's indirect. So Amale Achi Amar of Tuvi Bar Matna. We learned already. Zoto Meret Gerama Ben Zakin Asur. We just learned. That even though it's indirect, it's asur. I have a right to tell you to get out of here, even though you're on your property, but you're indirectly causing me a damage and maybe mazik my timarim. So we learned the right. That's asur. Tosfot just says on top, just so you have more clarity. Bekarkas shelehen ayu yosvim. Okay, they were sitting on their side of the fence, but still, you're causing an indirect damage, and we say geramaz asur. Gemara says ve'ah ahzik lehu. Gemara says, what are you talking about? That hazakah. They were sitting there already for years doing this, and nobody told them anything. Which means now so you can't come years later and say, oh, this is our, you're damaging me. As she, Tosfot says,
Mordechai,
Mo'edet Hazaka Shelo Beta'ana, which means they were just claiming over here that you cannot argue with us or claim us to move when we had a Hazakah that we've been sitting here for however long time we were,
and you
didn't say anything. Now all of a sudden you're going to come along and tell us that we have to move? So the Mefarshim say over here, Mevo'ar kan b'gemara sheyesh hazaka l'nezakin. Hadush. We have a hazaka to be mazik. V'ayinu sheim haya le'adam tashmish mesuyam b'toch reshuto. He was doing a certain tashmish service there. Hagorem me'azek l'avro v'shtamesh bo b'lo shemicha bo chavro. His friend never told him anything. Hare hu kovaya hazaka b'otah hashtamshut. You have a hazaka there. V'en chavro yachol od l'tbo'a menu. Now all of a sudden you can't come a year later, get out of the way. Where were you till now? Ledat Nishim Nabim Hazakazu Bedomil Askat Karkaot, gotta be 3 years. Just like a regular Hazakah of doing something on the field for 3 years, the same thing over here. Vesirikat Ta'ana. What does that mean, Sirikat Ta'ana? Kedomar. In Ba'ala Tashmisha Mazik, Hishtamesh to Meshik Shalosh Shalim Tashmisho. He did it for 3 years, the guy with the bloodletting. Vechol oto azman shatak havero velo mihabo. And Rabbi Yosef, let's say, kept quiet for 3 years.
I'm challenged.
Hare hu ne'eman leton shehavero hekna lo et hazikhut tashtamish b'to tashmish. I'm ne'eman to say, you sold me those rights. You gave me those rights. Velo sarik lavi ra'aya leokhiya ta'anato. You don't got to bring now a ra'aya to that. The ra'aya is, you didn't say anything. For 3 years, she can anu manichin. She lo haya chaveron maknilo zechut or yashotech. Otherwise, what did you keep quiet for? The fi de'azu yesh v'esh b'mekresh lefanenu mekize adam ayu mekizim kiva shlosh shanim. You have to say that the bloodletters were working for 3 years under the tree, and you have to say that we're going to see now that v'yesh le'idachayv v'lomah shem tanu b'sheker shlav Yosef ekna lehem zechut zu, because Rabbi Yosef is claiming no. Rabbi Yosef is arguing. So they're coming along and saying, you gave us these rights. Obviously someone's lying over here. Obviously not Rabbi Yosef. So therefore they're saying, you gave us these rights over here. You didn't say anything. And Rabbi Yosef's coming along and say, that's not like that.
But, sorry, he was Mihad?
Yeah, he's going to come along and say, because Rabbi Yosef's going to argue and say, get out of here. I don't want you to be here.
But was he Mohen?
Yeah, he had to be. He had to be, because Rabbi Yosef's going to try to take him away.
What if he just moved Rabbi Yosef, he just
bought
the property.
No, that wasn't the case.
What is that case?
There's no Hazakah for 3 years. Of course you can take him off.
So let's say they're there for 3 years, and he just moved. And then he's saying, hey, what is this? But they already had it 3 years. Okay,
we're going to see that in the Gemara. We'll see that in the Gemara. But the point is over here, obviously Rabbi Yosef was angry. So he said, stop doing what you're doing. They're coming, hey, you kept quiet. So quote this, you have to say that there was somebody over here was lying. Now he quotes over the Rambam, Omnam da'amta Rambam, v'ge'onimi, she'hazkat nezikim elam sirichas shalosh shanim. Quote the Rambam, you're only 3 years for hazakah. Ela kot she'hayav la'archik ve'lo erchik, v'ra'a chavero v'shatak, and ezo hazakah miyad. First time. Yeterah mikak hazakano eno sirichat ta'ana, kelomar, ha'ma'zik eno sirik leton shukana mechavero. He doesn't even have to come along and say, that you sold me
the rights.
It is considered enough. Which the first shita says, you got to come along and say not only 3 years, but then you got to claim with a ta'ana, you sold me the rights. According to Harambam says no. Even one time you kept quiet. That's automatic, as if your silence is indicative that you sold me the rights. Okay.
So,
So now what happened? So comes Gemara and says, Amar Abda Haman, Amar Abba Ben Abu, En Hazaka Lenizakim. So he comes along and says, no. He says, what are you talking about? You want to say Hazaka? There's no Hazaka when it comes to Nizakim. You want to apply those of Hazaka to damage. No. When there's a damage, there's no damage to that. Gemara says, what do you mean? Velav Etmar Ala Rav Mori Amar Bekutra. When do you say there's no hazakah for nizakin? When it's a very, very serious hezek. For example, smoke damage. Rashi says asham, which means when it comes to that, where smoke damage is a very, very, very great damage, then you can't say, well, I was there for 3 years, you didn't say anything. Yeah, that's automatically, no matter when he's mocheh, you can throw him off. V'ravzvid amar b'vet ha-kiseh. The guy opens up a bathroom next to the guy's field, where there's a stench. In that case over there, so also we say there's no hazakah. But for other cases, there is hazakah. Which is only for these two, in hazakah and nizakin. But for our story over here, where the guy was doing bloodletting, That's not one of the two cases. And therefore, yesh chazaka lezakin. Either according to Rambam, he kept quiet even the first time he saw, or according to the other sheet, 23 years. But the point is, after the time was up, he made a chazaka. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef, how can he come along now and claim otherwise? So Gemara says, Hani ledidi de anina da'tai ki kutra ubeta kise damile. He says, these items over there for me are like the damages of smoke and beta kise. Because Rabbi Yosef was known to be an istenis. He was finicky. And therefore, little things like this would bother him like it was a big damage. So therefore he says, what do you mean? Ledidi, for me, these items over here are considered damaged. And therefore, for somebody that's istenis, he has these claims. Just look at Rashi for a second. Tosfot comes along and says, first of all, Tosfot says, "In hazakah l'nezakin, omer abinotam da'afidu iknalu yachol la'azor bo t'kinyan b'ta'otu. T'kassabad haya sheyachol lekabel, v'akshav en yachol lekabel." Wow. So according to the Tosfot, he understands, in hazak, even if, let's say, he told him, okay, you can do it, you can do the smoke. After he can tell him, I changed my mind, because mekach ta'ot, because I thought I'd be able to handle it. But I'm not able to handle it. Then the next Tosfot says, "Bekutra that eliri the dafka bekutra the kivshan." Okay, it's like a furnace from smoke. She gadol umazik biyoter in hazaka. Okay, so it's got to be kivshan and things like that are very, very, very fumigating things like that. Okay, the didi that ina datai perushaya istenis. Okay, like we see in Gemara Pesachim, it says shlosha hayim and hayim. Three people, their lives are not lives. Harachmanim. Yosef, I got all three. I'm a Rahman, I'm a Istenis, and also he was a Ratchan. Also, he used to get angry. Anyway, he says, to me, this item over here of the birds with the blood is like is like smoke for me.
I gotta eat dates with blood on
them. Right? Which means it sounds like the Aninut was he was worried about get rid of your birds. Vaday im lo yu orbi ma ya sovel ap al gav de aninat darte. Which means if there was no birds, im lo yu orvim, he would have been sovel. Even though he was, it seems the birds were causing him.
The cooing.
Yeah, the birds, the noise that was bothering him. That's one shot. That it was the. First shot of Tosfot is it was the birds that were causing him the aninu. Now second shot that they were eating the blood and they're putting it on his fruits. So that was the aninu. See, either the aninu was the birds making the noise, but as far as if there wasn't birds, it wouldn't have bothered him. But all the birds were taking the blood, like we said, and putting it on the trees and then the fruit. And therefore, he held that this is considered the aninu datai. Okay, he was known to be an. Istenis, and he said, just like there's no hazakah for kutra beta kiseh, because shtika, these items over here, doesn't mean nothing. Right? So to the gabeh hakazat dam under the trees, that also doesn't mean nothing. My silence doesn't mean anything. Mikan mashma, shekol nezek, sheyadua sheadam mesuyam eno yachol lesoblo, apapi shero bene adam sovlim oto, shelo nitan lekbo bo hazakah. That's the tool. Which means, even though it's a majority of people can handle this inconvenience, but if you know this guy over here, he's a finicky guy and he can't handle it. So it's like those items. Therefore, you can't say his silence is considered as if he was makneh him the rights. In the Adrabah, he even though he was sad, he'd come along and say, I'm upset. And any time, you can say, get out of here.
3 years.
It doesn't matter. If 10 years, it doesn't matter. Bottom line, in this case over here, don't misinterpret my silence as an agreement to you as if I gave you the item. I'm aninu. So you have to know that when you're going into a situation, who's the guy that you're doing it to? Again, even if you say majority of the world, this doesn't bother. But this guy's known to be an istenis. Guy's istenis. Mishnah. Marhikim et ashovak menair hamishim amma. Okay, you have to distance the shobach, the dovecot, from the city, 50 amma from the city. Why? Shayonim Rashi says mafsidin zar'one ganot, because the doves go around, they eat all the seeds from the field. So you have a dove coat, you got to make sure it's 50 amma away from the city, so the birds don't come and eat all the seeds in the city. Okay, very good. Marhikir et hashovak bin 50 amma, velo yase adam shovach betok shelo, and a person should not put a shovach on his own property. Ela imken yesh lo 50 ama lechol ruach. So when you're putting it on your own property, you gotta make sure that there's 50 ama
within
on all sides. Tashi shelo yafsidu ayonim besadeh havero. Wow, so it seems the doves fly a certain distance. So when you're putting it on your field, you got to make sure that you have 50 amah to all sides. Stick, because you can affect your neighbors. These doves are going to go now and eat from the fruits of somebody else. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bet Arba'a Kurin Male Sheger Ayona. So Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says that you have to put a different shi'ud. Let's give you that shi'ud in distance over there. It's arba'at kurim, bet kur lechol ruach. Bet kur lechol ruach. If you want to get the bottom line number, is 273.86 amma lechol ruach.
Wow.
So about 300 amma to all sides. The first sheet does at 50.
Huge difference.
Yeah, big difference. He's coming along and saying you got to be much further from all sides. Melo sheger ayona. That's the amount that a bird flies in one shot. So therefore, you're worried the bird's going to fly to any of the sides. You can fly that distance in one nonstop. So therefore, you got to move it from that space. Ve'im lakho afilu bet rova hareu behizkato. However, if let's say the guy, he bought the field with a dovecot in the middle of the field. He bought it that way. There was a dovecot in the middle of the field. And it wasn't distance from the neighboring fields. Afilu bet rova. That means even if it's a small amount, he's learning small amount, even if it's 10 amma, even if it's 10 amma away from the neighboring field, harehu b'chazkato. The assumption is, I bought it from you, you had it there ready, must be nobody told you anything about it, therefore I can assume you had it there legally, I can assume that the neighbors will mohel you, the neighbors gave you permission, so therefore when you buy it already pre-shovacht in the field, that's it. I can, even though it's 10 amma away, it's not 50, it's not 250, it's only 10 amma away. You can assume that everything was done on the up and up, and therefore I don't have to worry about it. There's no claims against me.
They
have complaints, right? Exactly. Even they complaints, it was there, hazakah of some sort, which the Gemara is going to go through it. Okay? Let's just go see over here. Okay, no, that's the same thing. That's good. Okay, Gemara. Hamishim amma. So you tell me what? When it comes to the city, you got to move the dovecot 50 amma away from the city because they fly to eat the seeds. Hamishim amma betula. What? Only 50 amma? Urmini, we have a contradiction. And porsim nishbin leyonim. You're not allowed to trap doves. Open up traps. Right, open up traps for the yonim. Ela ibkin ayara chok mina yeshuv. Unless your traps are far away from the settlement, shiloshim ris, 30 ris, which is 4 mil. Okay, which is 8,000 amma.
Wow.
So you tell me 50 amma. What 50 amma? Now you tell me you're putting traps. Your traps have to be away from the city, 8,000 amma away. So it's a big deal. Make up your mind. Where'd you get 50? Wait, tell me 8,000 amma. And again, the logic of that is because you don't want the traps to steal the doves that don't belong to you. So Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Meshat Shaite Tuba. No, they could fly far away, that's no question. V'chirsayu b'hamishim amtam malya. But their stomachs get filled in 50 amma. Which means, once they eat within the first 50 amma, they don't eat anymore. So you're worried about the eating factor. So therefore, if I'm putting a dovecot next to the city, as long as I marhik 50 amma, I'm okay. Because even though they can fly much further, but I'm concerned about them eating the stuff from the city. So therefore, within 50 amma, that's normally their, that's all they can eat usually, and then they are considered full. Right? So that's the Gemara's answer. Gemara's answer is, their stomachs get full from tivu'ah that they collect within 50, the first 50 amma of their flying. And they can't eat anymore. So therefore, it's enough to put the shovach 50 amma so they won't eat the neighbor's goods. And the reason why you have to marhik 50 Because within the first 50 is his field. You have a dovecot on your own field. The din is what? Your own field, you got 50 amah from each side. Because what? They're going to eat within the first 50. The first 50 is your field. Now, after that, then let them fly, but they're not going to eat anything. Because they ate within your 50, which is you got to give them eating rights. How long is it? How much distance does he eat? Whatever he eats within 50, that's enough for him. Whatever wheat he's going to find. So just like your neighbor has wheat, you have wheat also on your field. So therefore, once you marhik 50, he's satiated. I might fly into the neighbor's field, let him fly. I'm not worried about flying. They're not going to eat anything. Because he ate already within the first 50 of the owner's field. Ah, the Gemara says, Umeshat Shiloshim Ris Vetula. You tell what? The doves only fly 8,000 amma for meal, and they don't fly anymore. Vatanya Ubi Yishuv Afilu Me'amil Lo Yifros. That when a person is putting his traps to trap doves, and you're putting it in a populated area, you gotta keep it away even 100 mil away from the yeshuv. So what do you see that? They can fly from the yeshuv, it can fly 100 mil to the trap. So you see why? Why are you telling me only 3 ris, 4 mil? It can, according to the Gemara, must be even 25 times that to shi'ur, it's able to fly. Right. Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Amar, bi yeshuv keramim. So Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, that's talking about a yeshuv keramim, where they're able to go from vineyard to vineyard. Which is, let's say you have a settlement, and there's vineyards all over the place. Then already, you got to be concerned about 100 amah, because it can fly and stop. It can fly and land in the keramim. It fly, lands in the keramim. It flies and lands in the keramim. So when there's keramim, like over here, be yeshuv keramim, where they're all vineyards over here, so then already, you have to move away from there.
From the city.
No, then it's 100 mil from the city. Because over here, here's the city. Okay?
The
now you have Yeshuv Keramim next to the city. So over here, since they can fly more, they can land, fly more.
It should be 50 mil from the land.
No, it's going to be, so, I mean, it no, it's going to be 100, we're talking about 100 mil, meaning where there's Yeshuv Keramim over here. Amar, be Yeshuv Shovachim. Which is same idea, which is you have the Yeshuv is going where it has dovecotes all over the place. It's like a yeshuv of dovecotes. So therefore, what's going to happen? If you're going to only go 50 to the city, from the city, it's not enough. Or you're going to go 4 mil from the city, because it can jump from one dovecote to another dovecote, to another dovecote, to another dovecote. So it can move
long distances.
Can move long distances. So the yeshuv of Shavachim, so the deen is, then it can go even a further distance. It can fly further. However, when there's no keramim or no Shavachim, so then already, it can only fly 4 mil, which is 3 or 30 ris. Okay? Rav Rashi here for a second. B'yishuv keramim shepurhim mekerem nekerem. Right? They fly from vine to vineyard. V'shatim erbe. And they can fly a lot. B'yishuv shovachim shemedaleg meshovach leshovach. They go from shovach to shovach. So therefore, that's why when it says, u'b'yishuv afilu me'am mil. What type of yishuv we're talking about? We're talking about a yeshuv of keramim or a yeshuv of shavachim. So in that area, they can fly a very long distance. So you got to put your traps all the way at the end over there. You can't put it in the middle because it'll get there, and you're going to trap somebody else's dove. So there's two types: yeshuv keramim. It's a settlement. We thought it was a settlement of people. Oh, a settlement of vines. Oh, he can go all the way. So you better put it 100 mil away from the yeshuv. Or Shuvachim can just hop from one to one to one to one to one. So you better put your trap all the way even further. So comes Gemara and says, V'tipukle mishum Shuvachim gufayu, which means, forget about the reason why you shouldn't be able to put your traps up is because of the Shuvachim themselves. Which means, if it's talking about Yeshuv Shuvachim, we should be concerned you might trap somebody else's doves, which means you're worried about what? Yeah, you're telling me that what? You got to move 100 mil away, because we don't want you to trap the doves of the city. Forget about the doves of the city now. What about all these dovecotes? You didn't got to get to the city. What was this, Dean? Go 100 mil away from the city, because we don't want you to trap the doves that belong to somebody. Oh, yes, 100 mil. But they don't fly that far from the city. No. there was shomachim over there. Yishuv shomachim. Oh, so forget about the city now. The reason why you have to distance the trap, because you don't want to take somebody else from those dovecotes. From those people. You don't got to get to the city. From the dovecotes. So give exactly. Well, a few answers this. Some say no. The dovecotes belong to him. So therefore you have no problem. Okay. Or they belong to goyim. Or they belong to hefker. They're the ownerless. So either way, I'm not worried about the dovecotes. I'm worried about the city. But they can go from the city to the dovecote, to the dovecote, to the guy, you can fly 100 mil away from there. Good? Comes the Gemara and says, we have Rashi, Tipo, the Mishra, Shemir, Gufayhu, my Me'a Mil, the Kama, the Mashra, the Mishra, Yone Ha'ir, Mitrahayek, the Mashra, the whole issue is what? Because the doves of the city, Shema'in, Kan, Derek, Shemachin, Belav, Yone Ha'ir, Nami, Lo, Yifros, forget about the doves of the city. Share, Lochid, Yone, Shemachot, Shemachin, you're trapping the doves of other people. Nah, either it belongs to Goyim, or it belongs to him, or it belongs to, if it doesn't belong to anybody, it's Hefker. Okay, the Biuda Omer, Bet Arba'at Korin. The Biuda gave a different shoot. He said you have to have 250 Amma about from each side of your field. And then he came along and said if you bought a field that had a dovecote already in it previously from an owner, and there was 10 Amma away from the neighbor, you could assume that everything was done kosher, and you buy it, and you have no, there's no claims against him, which means already he has Hazakah. Amara Papa, Papa learns an interesting halakha from here. Ve'etima Rav Zvid. Zot omeret, I learned from this Mishnah, To'anin le'lokeyach, to'anin le'yoresh. Betin claims for the benefit of a buyer. Buyer has privileges. Buyer has advantages. Betin helps the buyer, and Betin helps the inheritor, which means a guy buys a field from his friend. Or let's say he inherited a field from his father. And a guy comes along and says, hey, what are you talking about? That field belongs to me. Right? And he brings witnesses over here. It's enough for the buyer or for the guy that inherited to bring witnesses that the seller or the inheritor had a hazakah for 3 years. Which means the guy that sold it to him or the guy that inherited, all you got to prove is that he was on the field for 3 years, and they don't have to bring a ra'aya that what to the guy that's claiming that I don't got to prove that he bought the field from you. I bought it. I have it. I'm holding the field. I bought it. Beautiful. I'm good. All of a sudden, a guy comes and says, "Hey, where'd you buy that field from?" I mean, from this guy. No, oh, this guy. What are you talking about? He sold it to me. It's not his field to sell to you. And how am I going to prove now any of this? All I got to prove is, all I know is this guy had a hazakah, he was living on the field for 3 years. I don't have to prove that he owned it, meaning that he didn't sell it to you. All I got to prove is that he lived on the field, that the seller... That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. When I buy something from somebody, the advantage goes to the buyer. And therefore, he's believed in his claim to say what? That it's his field. But what? But you'll bring me an ayah that this witness is that this guy sold it to him. He said, hey, this field belongs to me. All I got to prove is he was living on the field for 3 years. Once I prove that he's living on the field for 3 years, Betin will accept that claim and therefore allow me to hold on to my item. And he had a hazakah. He had a hazakah. And therefore, your claim that saying that he sold it is not a claim against the hazakah that he had. Let's read it in Rashi. Read Rashi. Tu'anim li yoresh, v'tu'anim li lokayah. Okay? Beautiful. Beddin, potchin peh. Beddin opens their mouth. I mean, Beddin makes the claim. V'ta'ana li yoresh, v'lokesh shir'er adam alehim. The guy claimed against them. V'yesh lo edim, they have proof. She'ayta shelo, o shel avotav. This guy is saying, what are you talking about? I inherited from my father. That's his thing. Listen, all I know is, this guy over here, he had a hazakah for many days. And he brought an ayah. I'll bring you proof. He was living on the field from 1987 to 1990. I have witnesses. והן לקחו ממך או מאבותיך, which means even though the other guy's claim is that we bought it, I bought it from you, which I bought it from your father, I bought it from the guy that sold it to you, טוענים לו בדין ופותחים לו פה, which means we claim for him and we give him the advantage. משנתנו מלמדת איפה, I'm reading now, המחזיק בשדה במשך 3 שנים, I live on a field for 3 years, בשלום מחובו, nobody challenged it. הרי הוא קובע חזקה לשדה. Okay, now what does that mean? שנאמן לטעון שקנה את השדה ביד הבעלים. I'm believed to say I bought the field from so and so. I don't got to bring shtarot, I don't got to bring ra'ayot, I don't mean nothing. All I got to bring is edim that I lived there for 3 years. Now you come along and say, what do you mean? But it's my field. Sorry. ואין עוסק להביא שטר מחירה נתק. אולם, כל זה דווקא, אם אכן טוען שקנה את השדה מיד הבעלים. But I got a claim. What's my claim? I bought it from you. Which means I have to have 2 things. חזקה. And then I have to say that I bought it from the owners. אך אם אין הוא טוען כן, אלא רק אומר שלא מיכה בו אדם מעולם. If I just come along and say, nobody ever challenged. Nobody ever said anything. אין חזקתו חזקה. We have a rule. This is the key rule now. Kol hazaka she'en ima ta'ana ena hazaka. It's not enough to say, I was there 3 years. Yeah, and? 3 years, that means nothing. You have to say, I was there 3 years and you sold it to me. Okay, then already you have a ta'ana with your hazaka. Fine. Omnam alokeyah sadeh mehavro. Here's the key. When I buy a field, I bought the field. Now all of a sudden, I bought a field from Shimon. All of a sudden, Uven comes along and says, what are you talking about? That's my field. You bought it from Shimon? What are you talking about? It belongs to me, that field. All I got to prove is, as the buyer, that Shimon was living on the field for 3 years. I don't have to even have a ta'ana to say that
he sold it.
Which means, once already I'm a buyer, Bet Din will claim that for me. Which means I just have to prove hazaka. Once I prove hazaka, betting then will jump in and claim, and he sold it to you. Which means normally hazaka, you need 2 things. Hazaka, you have to say he lived on it for 3 years and he bought it from Reuven. Right? That's normally he lived on it for 3 years and he bought it from Reuven. But that's only when the owner of the field is making the hazaka and the claim. But if a buyer comes along now, I don't know, there was a field over there. He was living there for 3 years. I bought it from him. And Bet Din will come along and talk for the buyer and say, that you know what? And we're going to say, with that hazaka, we're going to claim that Shimon bought it from the guy, from the Uven, and therefore it's his field. We're torn for the lokeyah. I say again. Right. If I would be the owner of the field alone, Shimon comes over and says, that's my field. What do I have to do? 2 things I have to do. Now I got to prove I was there for 3 years. And then I got to make a claim. What's the claim I have to say?
You sold it to me.
Whatever, you sold it to me. He's claiming I didn't sell it to you. Yeah. You said it's mine. I never sold it to you. I've been there for 3 years. You didn't say nothing. You didn't open your mouth. And then you sold it to me. Okay, Beit Din says, Hazakah wa ta'ana. Congratulations, it's yours. Now, I bought the field. I bought the field from Shimon. Okay? All of a sudden, it comes to Uven. What do you mean? It's my field. Now, normally, what would I have to do in this case over here? I would have to prove that the guy that I bought it from had 3 years, and that he bought it from Reuven. Here, in the case of a buyer, Bet Din just says, just prove Hazakah, and the Ta'ana will take care of the Ta'ana for you. We'll handle that side for you. Or, as well as a Yoresh. I was Yoresh on item. Now what? I was Yoresh from the father. Father's Shimon. Yoresh. All of a sudden comes the Uven. Hey, what do you mean? That's not your Yerusha. That field belongs to me. I just got to prove that my father was sitting on the field for 3 years. And Bet Din will come along now in Ta'ana. And by the way, he must have bought it from you. And therefore, Hazakah belo Ta'ana, which means that's an advantage. Now let's read that she again inside. Actually, let's read inside the Pirush over here. Omnam, halokeyach sadeh mechavero, ena o yoresh, eno sarich lebarer heach ba sadeh lideh hamocher. I don't gotta prove how the field got to the guy that sold it to me. That's not my problem. אלא דיילם בהוכחה שהמוכר יחזיקו בשדה במשך שלוש שנים. Okay, now where do you learn that from המשנה? That's the key. Very simple. The dovecot case. Quote the משנה. I buy a field, has a dovecot on it. The dovecot is 10 amma away from each neighbor, which is against the halakha. It's got to be 50 amma away from each neighbor, 250 amma for each neighbor, according to each shita. I buy the field now, all of a sudden it's all of a sudden the neighbors are coming along now. Hey, what do you mean? It's close to my field. So Mishnatenu melamedet sharei hi mora shalokeach shovach she'en lo mikosrav ela bet rova shovach b'chizkato lomrot sheyitachen shalokeach en yodea klal beze zkut banas shem ha'mocher ta'shovach. Even though I have no idea what your rationale of building the shovach in the middle of the field was. I don't know what you did. Which means Betin will step in for the buyer and say, don't worry, there probably was a mehila. There was probably a pius, probably he appeased him. Which I don't have to know the... Just like I don't have to know in the Mishnah. How it came about, Betin will take care of that for me. So all I got to prove is, listen, he sold it to me. That's all I got to know is. Now neighbors are screaming, Betin will to'en. Listen, if he bought it over there, we're gonna to'en for him, and therefore he probably made a settlement. He probably made everything was okay. Now, from this mishnah, what am I going to learn? A similar case of to'en l'lokeach. I buy a field from. So I'm saying it again. I buy a field from Shimon. I have the field. Also, Reuven comes along and says, "Hey, what are you talking about? Shimon didn't have a right to sell you that field. That's my field. All I got to prove is." You lived there for 3 years. Shimon lived there for 3 years. And then Betin will be to'en for me. They'll speak up for me and say, and probably Reuven sold it to him. I don't got to know that fact. I just got to know he lived there for 3 years. Similarly, when I buy the Shovach, I buy the field. I don't know what the arrangement, why the Shovach is in the middle of the field. I don't know what he did with the neighbors. I know he did nothing. But Betin will come along and handle that for me. Betin will say, Mr. Mare was a Mechila, Mr. Mare was a Pius, and everything is okay. Okay? Good. Right, let's read the Nashi here, by the way. Let's read the Nashi again, the big Nashi. Tu'anim le'yoresh v'tu'anim le'lokeach. Bet din, potchim peh v'ta'ana le'yoresh v'lokeach she'er adam alem v'yesh to edim she'ita shelo o she'lavota v'zeh omer yirashtim v'abaz, I inherited it. O le'karti v'aybor me'ploni she'ozak bo yamim rabim. I'm saying it was a chazaka. V'vi edim... שעוזק בו אביבו המוכה לא שלוש שנים, אף הפיש לא טען, והן לקחו ממך, even though he didn't have a claim, and he bought it from you, או מאבותיך, טוענים לו בית דין, בית דין will take care of that, ופותחים לו פה, ואילו למי שלא ירשה, ולא לקחה, but a guy that didn't inherit or didn't buy, you need חזקה plus a טענה, מאחר שכשמע לו המעורר, מה אתה עושה בתוך שלי? What are you doing on my field? והוא אומר, יחזק לי בגימל שנים, ולא אמרי לדבר, nobody ever said anything, טענה במתניתין, תאין לו חזקה. ומתניתין, דקטני עליהו בחזקתו, שמירה, דהכה דלקחה מאחר, ובאו וערערו עליו, אין צריך להרחיק, which means, now they come and claim, hey, what's the dovecoat doing there? I don't gotta move my dovecoat. I leave it there. על מה טעני נענה? בשבילו שאותו שלקה ממנה נתפייס מסביב במאות עד שנאותו until he appeased them. Correct. So comes the Gemara and says, אין צריך טענה ראשי, אין לו צריך לומר, אתה מחלת לאבי, אלא ראיתי לאבי שחזיק בו ולא הרער אדם עליו. So comes the Gemara and says, יורש תנינה. Well, so we know that a יורש doesn't have to give a claim. How do we know that? Simple story. Haba mishum yirusha. A guy got a field as inheritance. Eno tzarich ta'ana beferush. He does not have to prove how his father got that field. All he's got to prove is what? That his father had the field for 3 years. So you see clearly that an inheritor does not have to prove how his father got the betting. Betting is to end that. Betting assumes that automatically. So the Gemara, so what do you have to tell me your resh for? So the Gemara says, you don't have to tell me your resh. Lokeach etz tarichadeh. We needed the statement to teach me on a buyer. Your resh we know already. The hadus on a buyer also betin is Toen. Gemara says, we mean lokeach nami tanina. Lokeach, also we have a braita. What does it say? Laka chatzer. A guy bought a courtyard. Uba zizin ugzustraot. What's zizin? He got little ledges sticking out of the wall, facing the reshut rabim. Ugzustraot. Ugzustraot is like long beams that are also protruding out of the reshut rabim. You want to see a picture of this? Yeah, is in 2368. This is zizin. He has like poles sticking out of his wall that are protruding into the reshut rabim. And then you have Gezustrot, it's like a balcony that's overhanging into the Reshut Rabim. What's the deen? Harezu b'hezkata. You don't got to prove nothing. You bought it. Now all of a sudden they claim, the people of the Reshut Rabim come along and say, hey, what is he doing? It's in the Reshut Rabim. Listen, Betim will claim, must have been, if it was there already, must have been, was done legally, and therefore we'll ta'an for him. He doesn't have to have a ta'ana for that. Okay? So therefore, why does the Mishnah have to tell me the case for Yerusha and for Mecca? We know that already from two Braitot, which is your teaching from the Mishnah. The fact that with the Dafkot, Betin is going to be toyin for me. Betin will say everything was done good. And for me, we learned that what? The Betin is toyin for the buyer, Betin is toyin for the Yeres. We know that already from two Braitot. So the Gemara says, Siricha, you need it. Because if you just gave me the case of the Reshut Rabim case where the guy got the things protruding out and the balcony is protruding out, I would say the imur kones letok shelohu. I would say that that the seller mistama, when he built these protrusions, he built it on his property line, which means I would say like this. Look at the 369. I would come along and say when he built these protrusions, they were really built inside. That's why he's believed, because it was on his property. How? Or I'll say the case talking about where he built it on the property line, going into the Reshut Rabim, but the people of the Reshut Rabim were mohelim, which I have what to say. I can either say the reason why I allow this sale to be a sale, because I can either say the protrusions are in the property line, therefore it's not a problem at all. And even if you want to say it's out of the property line, over protruding into the Reshut Rabim, mistabar, the people of the Reshut Rabim were mohel. However, aval haka, but in the case of the shovach that's on a private property that's damaging the guy next door, lo, which is, I'm not going to be torn for the lokeah, because maybe since you're damaging a yachid over here, maybe I could say, well, amazing thing, maybe the seller was a bully and he bullied the guy into it, which means the guy's a bully, so he's scared of him. I said, you can't bully the Reshut Rabim.
He waited till he sold it.
Which means now he sells it.
Then he comes.
So now the guy says, hey, what are you doing? So Betty's not going to claim, oh, he probably got permission. Hey, that's an individual guy. On an individual guy, you could bully him around. Which means like this. In the Reshut Rabim case, the Reshut Rabim is not going to let you get away with it. If it's there, over protruding in the Reshut Rabim, probably it was taken care of. Which means obviously the Reshut Rabim didn't say anything. In that case, I'll turn for the Lokeyah. Masha'ekin, in the case of a shovach, which is on private property, in that case over there, I'm not going to claim for him. Because I come along and say, just because you bought it, it's noted ayat that the neighbor allowed it. All it proves is that the guy before you had a big mouth and he was a bully, and he bullied him into it. Therefore, I'm not going to claim. That's why you need to tell me no. That even in the shovach case, we claim for him. Now we go the other way. If you gave me the case of the Shovat, if you gave me the case of the Dovecoat, the Kevan the Yahidu Emma Payuse Paise. I go the other way. It's only one guy. It's easy to appease one guy. Listen, do me a favor. Let me put my Dovecoat next to your thing. I gave him some money. No problem. However, Iname Ahole Ahel. Oh, one guy's Mohel. Okay, he's a nice guy. Gabe. Abal Rabim Man Pais. Right. Who are you getting permission from in the Rabim? Who's the guy to get the money to be Mifayez? The Reshut Rabim is a million people. Who are you negotiating with?
The neighbor.
What neighbor? It's the Reshut Rabim, the guy in the house. Uman Shabik, and who can be Mohel? Emalo, I might think. In that case over there, we're not Torah for him. Because, what are we going to Torah? Oh, probably the Reshut Rabim got paid off. Well, you paid every single guy in the Reshut Rabim. Or what? The Rishonim was Mohelim when every single guy came, Mahalti, Mahalti, Mahalti.
He went to the city and he...
So I would think that maybe we don't to'en for him. That's what I would think. Tzericha, that's what comes to teach me in that case also. That what? That we to'en for that as well. Like we said, the people of the city, the municipality, or whatever it is, gave permission. So therefore, wait. Now we have the two cases of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah was the Shovach. We have a case of a guy who buys a Shovach. And we have a guy that buys a hatzer with these gezusraot hanging out. What do I need both cases for? So I told you both sides. If it would have told me the shovach case, I wouldn't have known the gezusra case. If it told me the gezusra case, I wouldn't have known the shovach. Because each one has its merits and problems. That's what I have to say. Both cases. Comes Gemara and says, Harehu b'chizkato. What was the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah said, if you bought it, even if there was no distance away from the neighbors, hazakah. You bought it that way, you got to assume everything is good. We learned it already just before. When it comes to damaging, there's no hazakah. You can't say, oh, the guy was there, the neighbors didn't argue. When it comes to damaging, there's no such thing as hazakah. Gemara answers, which we know this already. Rav Mori Amar, Bekutra, Rav Zvid Amar, Bebet Kiseh. That's only talking about major damaging. That's talking about smoke from a kivshan or a Bet Kiseh. Then you can't say that the silence is an acceptance. Now I don't accept it. The smell is very bad. The smoke is very damaging. Mashekin in a dove coat, which is not one of the major damages. So therefore, if the guy kept quiet, or you could assume that the guy was mefayetz, Hazakai didn't say anything, you could assume when the guy bought it, everything was legitimate. Comes the next Mishnah, Amud Bet. Niful. What's a niful? She's a gozal. A little bird. Hanimsa betok 50 amma. Okay. You find a bird within 50 amma of a dovecote. Harehu shel ba'al ha-shovach. Okay. 50 amma, you got to assume that it belongs to the owner of the dovecote. It's close to his dovecote, within 50 amma. Chutz me-50 amma. If it's away from 50 amma from the dovecote, harehu shel motzo. Find his keepers. The guy who finds it can keep it. Nimsa ben shne shovachot. Oh, now it's between two dovecotes. Karov lezeh shelo. Karov lezeh shelo. Okay, you go with whoever's karov. In between the two dovecotes, whoever the dove is closer to, that's the one that keeps it. Mehsa al mehsa. It's exactly in the midpoint between the two dovecotes. Sheneem yachloku. Yeah, they split it. Which means they sell it, they take the money, and they split it, give one of the dovecotes, and everyone compensates. Rov v'karov holchim achar harov. Very important rules here. We have two laws in the Torah. You have the law of Rov. Now, why? That's majority. Ahare rabim latot, you have the majority. And then you have the law of Karov. Karov is distance, proximity. Mm-hmm. Both these items are Torah laws. How do we know? Look at Rashi. Rov v'karov. Im bad davar lefaninu. I think came in front of us. V'yesh bo la'alech achar harov. And you can go according to majority. But if you're going to follow the proximity rule, it's not going to be. The results are soter. The result of Rov is not going to be the result of Karov. Halach bo achar Rov. Follow the Rov. How do you know that? You know both the Torah laws. Rubad deoraita dechtim ahare rabim natot. Simple case. What's the regular classical case of ahare rabim natot? You have 10 stores. Okay? One store is kosher. Nine stores are kosher. And one store is taref. Now what happens? You find a piece of meat in front of the stores. So what's the deen? Acharei rabim latot. Even though it could have came from the taref store, the majority of the stores are kasher. You assume that it came from the kasher store. You follow rov. What's the case of Karov? Where do you see Karov in the Torah? It says, the Kiroba deoraita dechtiv ve'aya ha'ira Kiroba. That's talking about Egla Arufa. You see a dead body. You don't know who killed it. So it says, you find it between two cities. The closer city takes the responsibility. So you measure. So you see what? You go according to Karov. Not only that, there's other cases of Karov as well. What's the case of Karov? Let's say you find in the Beit HaMikdash, that 13 kupot of tzedakah. Okay? All charity boxes. You find charity in front of the kupot. I don't know which kupa it came from. So I assume the closer kupa to the money, that's where the money came from. That's the din. So that's the din of karov. So rov is the oraita, karov is the oraita. But there was a Kabbalah that said, when rov goes against karov, rov wins. Rov e karov, ruba wins. Amar Rabbi Hanina, rov e karov, ochina hara rov, ve'af agav ruba de oraita. Ve'kurba de oraita, even though they're both de oraita laws, afilu ache, even so, ruba adif. Rov is adif. Okay. How did you know that? Mefarshim say, he had a tradition on this. Doesn't matter. Oh, that's the case. The meat is in front of the tariff store. That's the case. That would be a case where rov would be stronger than karov. Very good. So comes again and says, Mativ Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera has a question from the Torah. Ve'haya ira kirubah lachalal. You have a corpse, dead body, between two cities. We don't know who killed him. What do you say? Who brings the Igla Arufa? The nearest city. Now, the Torah doesn't stipulate the nearest city. That's all it says. Ve'afagav di'ika achariti di'nefish amineh. Even though the other city has more people. So you see what? You have rov. If you go after the rov, you got to assume that the murderer came from the rov, from the populace. But you're not saying. You're saying, always go with karov. It's mashma even against rov. That's the Gemara's question, Nashi. That it's bigger in populace. Gemara says, the case of the Norov. Which means both cities are same amount of people. So you're right. If the other city would have been the Rov, we would go after that city. We go after it. But the case of the Torah is talking about where there's no populated city with more people. Gemara says, fine. Velizil batar ruba de alma. Forget about the city, the two cities in question. Rov ha'olam. You have a city that's cut off, and then you have the rest of the world, which is rov. Forget about the city. That's
everywhere else.
Combine that all together. That's rov. So you have rov and cut off by Igla Arufa. What does the Torah say? Go after the cut off. So you see that your statement was wrong. You go after the cut off, even there's a rov. Where did the murderer come from? He could have came from this cut-off city. Where else could he have come from? From everywhere else. What's the majority? Everywhere else. The world. And you still said you go after the closest city. So you see what? Rov and cut-off. Go after cut-off. What do you mean? If you would go after Rov...
He's dead, so it has to be one of the two closest ones.
No. Not closest one. You said go...
He finally got a book that's out from China.
Why are you judging me cut-off? Maybe it came from somewhere else. Shevet Ben Harim... The case you're talking about where the place is in the mountains. People don't come to the mountains. Which means, he draws you the picture over here, and you have two cities over here, right? And there's all mountainous regions over here. And there's all other cities on the outskirts. These people are here not coming to the mountains. They don't come. They don't access it. Only the cities that are in the mountainous region itself, that's the decision between them. So then you go according to cut off. The rov is not a factor. Look at that she. Look at that. No, the murder is not coming. The murder is not coming all the way to this place over here. Look at the she. Rene Arim she'en derech rotzchim lavo b'mekomot aharim lekan. Not the derech for the rotzchim to go climb mountains now to go to this place. So you have to make an okimta. That really, we're going by karov in a place where there's no rov. Mm. But if there'd be any sort of rov, if there would be a rov of the other city that's further, or a roba de alma, in a cherem we'd go after roba de alma. Now we go back to Amishnah. Niful, that's the gozal, that's the bird. Hanimsa betok hamishim amma. We said if it's 50 amma away from the dovecot, hare hu shel ba'al shuvach. It belongs to the closest dovecot, right? Even though, could be there's another dovecote further away that has more doves. Now if you would go with rov, you got to assume it came from the rov. So here you see Amishnah doesn't care about rov. We go with karov. But the neka. Okay, there's no other dovecotes over there. Right, in a clam, if there was another dovecote that had more birds in it, we'd go after that. Amishnah's talking about Bedeleka. Now she says, Bedeleka rechokam mezu shegedola memena. Ela kulam shavot. Right? They're all equal. 10 birds in this one, 10 birds in that one. Then you go after the closer. If that's the case where everything is equal, Ema Sefa. I bring you a question from the end of the Mishnah. Why? What does it say at the end of the Mishnah? Chutz mechamishim ama harehu shel motzo. If it's 50 ama away from the dovecot, then it belongs to the one that found it. V'ideleka, if we're talking about where there's no other dovecots that are bigger, vadai mahu nafal. For sure it's not from that dovecot. Which is, you tell me, there's no other dovecotes. So where did it come from then? So you tell me, oh, if it's 50 ama away from the dovecot, find the keepers. Why find the keepers? If there's no other dovecotes around, so it's got to be from that one. So why is it more than 50 ama away? Why more than 50 ama away? Simple question. So comes the Gemara and says, look at Rashi, Ema Sefa, who are the Navi Matzid, Mefraknam, and Lezir Bataruba? Okay, Gemara can answer the simple question, go after the room. Okay, Gemara answer a different question. Comes the Gemara and says, it's not flying. You see the bird jumping. It's too small yet, because it's not a fly yet. It's just jumping. The Amar of Uqba bin Hama, kola middadeh, en middadeh yotel mechamishim. Which means a young bird that only knows how to hop, it can only hop
less than 50.
So therefore you have one dovecot over here. If you see it within 50, you got to assume it came from that, because, but after 50, how do you get there?
It's impossible.
It's impossible, because it cannot hop,
so, really the big
so it's got to belong to somebody else. Which means, real, I can tell you, it is bigger than... Look at Rashi first. Hakamaskinan. Kulam matnitin, the whole Mishnah, look at Rashi, very important Rashi. Kulam matnitin, the whole Mishnah mitarza bimadeda, begozal she'elo yachol la'uf, ela bididui me'at me'at. Can only jump a little at a time. Hilkach, toch 50 amma shel baal ha-shuvach. 50 amma belongs to the baal ha-shuvach. Va'afagav di'ika ha-chariri de'nafish. I don't care if you have dovecotes that have 1,000 birds next to it. So what? If we're talking about medaded, if they cannot go more than 50, these are further than 50, the ones that are more populated. Therefore, the chol ha-medadeh, and ha-medadeh, yotu b'hamishim. V'chutz l'hamishim, shel motza'o. And after 50 belongs to the one that finds it. Dechiman de'en medadeh, yotu b'hamishim. V'zeh yatsa chutz l'hamishim, nafak le'meturat medadeh. Now already, obviously, it's not a small bird anymore.
It must have flew at one point.
Right. Therefore, v'kim le'meturat mafriyah. Now must be, if it's out of 50, so must be, it's already a bird that flies. Now you got to go after Rove of the world, so that's right, I can keep it. Like, who knows who it belongs to now? So therefore I can keep it. There's no siman, therefore I can keep it. So again, the case is talking about really in the Mishnah. Let's start again the Shekla Vetariah. Gemara tells me Rove Karov, Ruba Adif. Oh, I'll bring you a question about Mishnah. Within 50 amma of the dovecote, keep it. Give it back to the guy with the dovecote. So it means you go after Karov. What do you mean by this dovecotes that have more birds in it that are further away? How come you don't go to those? Must be that what? That you go Karov even against Rov. No, we're talking about there's no other dovecotes. There's no other Rov. So it's only a Karov. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, what about the Sefa? What does it say in the Sefa? Outside of 50, you get to keep it. Why should I get to keep it outside of 50? You tell me, if it's within 50, I give it to this guy. Outside of 50, I keep it. If you tell me it's not a dovecote, for sure it's this guy's. Right, give it back to him. What's the Mishnah telling me? I have to give it back to him, even if it's out of 50. It doesn't belong, he's the only guy in town. Kabbalah says, no, really, I'll tell you, the whole case of the Mishnah is talking about the bird's not flying at all. The bird is medadid. The bird is
hopping.
And a bird cannot hop more than 50 amma. So if I have a dovecote, even though I have dovecotes around it that have a lot of birds. So what? I'm not going to go after Rov in this case. Normally I would go after Rov. By flying, you go after Rov. But by Medaded, if it's within 50, for sure it's got to belong to this guy. After 50, so now already does not belong. For Rov does not belong to the Elibus, belong to the Rov, because if it got out of, it's out of 50, so it must be it's already flying. So therefore, if it's flying, so now I don't know who it belongs to. So why is this Shemotzo? So if we have no da'ayah from the Mishnah, that what? You have no question from the Mishnah. You try to bring a question from the Mishnah that you go after Karov over Rov. You have no raya. You have no raya. The only reason why you go after Karov, either because there was no Rov, or because the Mishnah is talking about a mid that did, and the mid that did, for sure, if it came out of 50, I'm not going to give it to the first Dovko, because it wouldn't ever really get there. And if it must belong to the Rov, and therefore you give it to the Rov. But you have no question from our Mishnah. Beautiful. Comes Gemara and says, Ba'ei Rabbi Yirmiya. Now some questions over here. Rabbi Yirmiya has a she'ela. Regel achat betok 50 amma veraglo achat chutz 50 amma mahu. Wow. One leg is within 50. So therefore it's considered madeira. So one leg within 50, it's still hopping. And one leg is considered out. One out, they consider it a flying bird. So I can keep it. What do? You go after the bird that's in, or the bird that's out. So Gemara says, Ve'alda, because of this question, Afkuhu l'Rabbi Yirmiyah b'Beit Midrashah.
They threw him out of
the Beit Midrash. Because he was asking such technical questions. What do you mean? One bird's inside, one bird's outside. That's the question that she says, Shaya matriyah alehim. He was being a pest test in these questions over here, these type of questions. These type of questions.
Right?
Because it's not mitzuyah. It's not mitzuyah. It's not such a common case. So what are you being matriyah alehim with such a case? Okay? Oh.
We had it, but the Gemara put that case, Rabbi, no? Okay. Before the 50-50.
Right.
Which means, since the rabbis told you that it's not modded after 50,
that's it.
Finished. The one leg out is out. It's not modded after 50. Which means we told you the rules already. What are you asking me now if one leg is out? It won't go out. If it's a modded, it won't go out at 50. What are you asking us? You're going against our rules.
That they know it can't go.
We told you, it's not going to be modded after 50. But if one leg went out, it won't go out. It's not a modded. We're just flying already. Right. Well, obviously, for a small amount of time, obviously, they didn't throw him out indefinitely. Okay. Tashema. Our Mishnah. What did it say in the Mishnah? Nimsa ben shnei shvachot. You found the bird between two dovecotes. Karov leze shelo. Karov leze shelo. Whoever's closer gets it. Vafagav dechad minayu nafish mechavre. That's right. Even though maybe one of the dovecotes has more birds in it. So you see what? Karov goes even over Rov. So comes Gemara and says, both dovecotes are exactly
same size.
Go back to the same questions. Why don't you go after the birds of the world? And therefore, maybe it flew from the world. Why do you tell me it belongs to the guy that's closer? The guy is close, has 10 birds in his thing. Mm-hmm. There's 2 million birds in the world. This could be a flu from outside, therefore, let him keep it. Why do you got to give it back? Could be go after the Rov. Nashi. V'lizl bataru ba da'ama v'le'eveh shel motz'o. T'kalsikad atak v'nimsa ben shtesh shuvakot achuz. Achuz t'hameshim aman nameh ka'eh t'nafik le'meturat madida. Which means, we're assuming over here it's a flying bird. It was out of 50 amma from the. It's away from 50 amma from the dovecotes. So therefore, it's a bird that flies. Once you tell me it's a bird that flies, so it could have flew from the world. So why you tell me give it to the closer dovecote? Give it to the amma. And you see what that karov goes after a stronger than the rov, right? Give us the answer, which we can obviously answer. Hakamah askinan. Oh, different answer. Bishvil shel keramim. It's a shovach.
Found them on the local.
That's right. It's a shovach that's next to vineyards. And therefore, even if you found it outside of 50 amma, it's still considered a madeda. Because when there's vineyards, it can hop more. Which is really how the case is talking about. You found them out of 50. Now, out of 50, wait, maybe it flew from the... No. When there's vineyards, even out of 50, it could still be hopping. Because it seems the vineyards make it easier for it to jump. Can jump from one place to another place to another place to another place over the vineyard. So therefore, then you go with Karov. Oh yes, how come you don't go to Rubada? We're not going to flying birds here. We're talking about birds that hop. Birds that hop, even though it's more than 50 away, but it's closer to that one, you give it to that one. Look at Taprashi. Bishvil means a road. Yeah. The Ayedei Keramim Nadedah Chutz LaHamishim. Yeah, through the Keramim, it hopped more than 50. Mi Ubataru Ba De'ama Leka LeMezal. Dechol HaMededah V'Hazeh LeKineh Kishemazir Rosho Mededah. Ilo Lo Mededah. V'Hai Im Alma Ata Lo Matzeh Hazeh LeKineh De Keramim Mafsikim Nefanav. Which means, when a bird is modded, it goes straight, so it knows it can find its way back.
See its nest.
Right, it can always keep its eye on its nest. So therefore it'll be modded, you know, away, then right. Come back. But she's bothered. Maybe it was modded from the world. This keramim, maybe it came from the rov. No, because a bird that's coming from the world will get lost. He won't be able to find his way back. So you don't have to assume it's coming from the world. Rule. Jumping birds only jump where they can see their nest. So if it's coming from the shevachim over here, im ita gemara dim ita de'me'al ma'atu. If you're going to tell me that what, that the birds came from the shevachim of the world, kevan de'medadeh lo matzeate. Since they're not flying, they're just being medaded, they will not be able to get there. De'chol de'medadeh ve'hadar hazel lekine, which means, as long as a bird can jump and hop, and he can see his nest when he turns his head, when he turns his head, he's able to see his nest, midadeh, he'll go forward. V'ilo lo midadeh. But if not, he's not going to go further. And therefore, since the kiramim, these vineyards, are separating between the gozal, the bird, and the other shubachim, it's not possible that it only came from these two dovecotes, which you see these two dovecotes? They're next to each other, right? Now I have a kerem over here. Okay? So now I got to assume that what?
He's going past his 50.
He's going past his 50, even though he's hopping. Because he can still see his dovecote.
Right, if it came from any of the other ones.
If it came from any of these, look at outside here. See Ba'alma? See the outside dovecotes?
Yeah.
If it came from any of these, if it be more dead, away from 50,
down that channel, he's okay.
Down the channel is okay.
Right, but from here to here, he loses sight. He gets blocked.
Right.
Which means he won't be able to see his dovecote.
Right.
The picture on which top means, might be better.
So these are the two dovecotes here. See these two dovecotes here? It's got to come from one or the other. Okay? It'll be more dead away from 50, because so long as it can see its
right
place, it'll go more than 50 away, no problem. That's the point. But these guys over here,
the path is not that's going to stop within 50.
They're definitely not there.
Because when it turns around, it cannot see it still because the vines are blocking it.
Yeah, so
therefore, you could assume that it's not coming from Ma'alma. Again, when it's on the straight path, it's either from this stuff code or this stuff code. So you say, well, give it to the one that is close, even though it's 50 amah away. What?
Even though it's more than 50
amah. Even though it's more than 50 amah away. I thought it doesn't mean that did more than 50 amah away.
It keeps its eye on it.
So again, since it can keep its eye, since it's on a narrow path, and there's vines
he's got a guide
on both sides, so he knows he won't lose his way. I guess, why does a bird not go more than 50? He gets lost. That's a pshat. He gets lost.
Yeah.
But once again, he can always keep his eye on the nest.
Keep going. Keep
so
going.
Therefore, keep let's say this bird is even more than 50 amah away, so we'll put it to the closer one. Why? Because you can see it. Maybe it came from the other places.
That's
no
closer.
Way. Because
even though it's closer,
it's closer.
Or Rov.
Yeah,
Rov.
Right, you have 1,000 there.
You have 1,000 there.
Yeah.
It came from the 1,000.
No.
No, because how is it going to be more dead?
It's definitely not
in such
there.
A case, because if it jumped from this dovecote, it won't be able to find its way back. So therefore, you got to assume it's not going to be more dead outside of its little area.
So you go with
cut off in this case. Right. Would you dare to get one out? Get one out? I had a question. Let's go back.
Get one
out. A question.
Why don't we go with
that? We have two dovecotes next to each other. So we said what? Whatever one is closer to, put it there. You're going with cut off. Even though the other dovecote had a billion birds in it. I said, no. It's talking about where both of them are shave, and therefore you have no problem of rov. But rov ad alma. You're right, for these two, they're equal, but the kid could have flew from there. We're not talking about birds that are flying. We're talking about birds that are
hopping.
And we're talking about where it's even further than 50 amah. Oh, so it's further than 50 amah, so maybe it jumped 50 amah away from the rov. So Gemara says, no, it's not going to jump more than 50 amah because there's blockages. Because since it's going to jump over the vines, it's look back, it cannot see its dove coat, it's not going. So the alma is out. So it's only between the dove coats that are between this lane over here. So therefore, which is here and here.
If we didn't have this picture, we'd be
guessed. Exactly. So it's between these two doves, these two bird coats. So you go to cut off one.
Yeah.
It's not going to go more than that. But we don't do the rule now. The 50, the rule is only if it's
without sight.
But if there's sight, it can even go, most of us can turn its head and see where it is.